Psalm 108. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. That your beloved ones may be delivered. Give salvation by your right hand and answer me. God has promised in his holiness, with exultation I will divide up Shechem and portion out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah my scepter, Moab is my washbasin, upon Edom I cast my shoe, over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go out, O God, with our armies. O grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes.
Paul, thanks very much for reading. As Jack said, I'm Kev. I'm the senior minister at Euston Church. Great to have you with us, especially if you're visiting. And welcome, students. Welcome to the 3 p.m. Great to have you guys here as well. Here's something silly for a hot day.
Typos in all of his replies. He's the overachiever, crushing all goals in sight. The afternoon has finally met its rival. He multitasks and circles back with his eyes on the prize. Before long, he'll be up for his own fancy title.
Energize the afternoon with new, hydrating Starbucks Diced Energy. Kim.
Very good. If you are a student and you've never worked in an actual office, don't worry, that doesn't happen in normal life, in case you're worried about your future career. But forget the Starbucks drink. It's the music that's the real motivator there, isn't it? Did you recognize it? It's a parody of Eye of the Tiger, one of the most famous pump-up songs ever. It regularly comes out top when they do polls of what is the best motivational music. And there's even been scientific studies that have said this song in particular can help runners overcome mental fatigue. Maybe it would be good for workplace productivity to have the Eye of the Tiger band following you around for the whole of the working day, or maybe it would just be a little bit annoying. Anyway, music motivates. Psalm 108, a song to motivate us to stay steady in our relationship with God. The Psalms are precious because they teach us about God like the rest of the Bible does. They also, though, model how to have a relationship with God. How is your relationship with the Lord at the moment? It's a big question, isn't it? We're not just people who receive things from him or do stuff for him. We're not even just journeying towards him, with him, in relationship with the Lord now is who we are. And my prayer is that this summer series in these Psalms will teach us how to walk with the Lord through all the highs and lows of our journey to the city of God. This one's a song of David. So here's the great king leading us in an Eye of the Tiger style motivational song to keep us going. You see how it's topped and tailed with pump-up vibes? Verse 1, my heart is steadfast, O God. Verse 13, with God we shall do valiantly. Means we'll be strong and brave. Do you struggle to be strong and brave? I do. We saw last week, this is the beginning of book 5 of the Psalms. We said book 5 would be particularly resonant for the generation who had returned from exile, so back from Babylon. Psalm 107 told the story of the scattered people of God regathered. God is good, home in their own land. Kind of. Oppression, evil, sorrow, still spoil. Wasn't exactly the New Jerusalem. And we're a lot like that generation. So further along the timeline, God is good. The kingdom has come. Kind of. Oppression, evil, sorrow, still spoil. For us, we're not home yet in our promised New Jerusalem either. This psalm speaks into that landscape. It's actually a mashup of two older songs. It's quite fun to mash music together sometimes. So we were at a wedding last weekend and we were singing In Christ Alone, you know, solid wedding hit, In Christ Alone. And then suddenly, Our God is an Awesome God, kind of rudely butted in Christ, Our God is not in Christ, Our God. It was quite fun, quite cool. Did things that, you know, you wouldn't have quite got if you just had one song or the other. Well, this is a mix of two David Psalms from much, much earlier in the Bible timeline. It's the second half of Psalm 57, mashed together beside the second half of Psalm 60. These two older psalms describe two different situations where David was under pressure from enemy attack, and they've been brought together to form this new Psalm 108 as motivation for future generations like us. You know those days where opposition, evil, maybe personal sadness, they feel like fortresses will never overcome them? Well, here's an old song to strengthen our hearts for those days. Point one is really revision about singing the Lord's praises. Thankfulness, we saw, is the secret to steadfast hearts. Singing thanks songs helps. That was last week. Well, here's the king figure leading by example as he carries on the theme. Verse 1, My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Steadfast clearly doesn't mean stiff upper lip. Steadfastly determined to keep praising the Lord. Really giving it his all. See, verse 2. Awake, O harp and lyre, I awake the dawn. So, sorry to use Carson as an illustration. Picture Carson arriving very early here on a Sunday morning. It's still dark outside. None of us have arrived. Jumps onto the stage and starts waking up the instruments and shaking his guitar. Come on, wake up, guitar. Kick the cajon. Get out of bed. Get ready. And then he runs outside. Is it morning yet? Wake up the morning. It's time to get praising God. Do you do that? No, he doesn't. I think he should do that. I think that would be fun. It's a slightly manic picture of someone determined that the Lord will get his due. And this is more than about singing, but music motivates. We won't always feel like making melody with all our being. Giving it all will look different in our different personalities. But actual songs of praise are strengthening to our own hearts, verse 1. They're part of our ministry to each other, verse 2, among the peoples. And our witness to the world, end of verse 3. I will sing praises to you among the nations. Now, me singing the gospel at the nations, first thing in the morning every day, might not be the best advert for Jesus. It's poetry. But describing our witness to the nations this way reminds us that evangelism, as we call it, it's not some formulaic, task-driven thing. No, it's from the heart. It's part of our worship. We've got a story that's supposed to burst out of us to whoever, to the Persians back then or the Romans. And us in our day, to our neighbors, colleagues, the people of Bordeaux on that trip that Elizabeth's leading some of you on, the young people at the summer camps some of you will be going on, the new students who we're already praying for who'll be arriving in September, won't they, Jack, from virtually every country on the planet to the streets around here. Really amazing. And we've got a story to tell them. Our story is, we're so thankful to the Lord for, verse 4 is the for your steadfast love is great among the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. I can stay steadfast because his love is steadfast. His marital love. This is his solemn vow. And the testimony of the ages is that when the Lord says, I will, he stays faithful to that covenant commitment to Abraham, to the Exodus generation, to David. Faithful to the exiles, even after their sin and stupidity brought them home. We might add, faithful in sending the greater king than David, the Spirit poured out, the church that's changed the world. Steadfast love, faithfulness, those words capture so much of the character of our God. Of course, we're going to tell the nations in verse 4. Look, it's as if in verse 4, the whole stratosphere is infused with his steadfast love. Imagine the words, God's steadfast love, his faithfulness, written into the clouds above, well, everywhere. It would be appropriate because it's the highest reaching reality in the entire universe. He is this God. So however you're feeling the pressure today, steadfast hearts cause the steadfast love of God. And it's because we know he is totally committed that the prayer in our second point makes sense. Point 2 is about claiming his promises. Doesn't the end of verse 6 sound like a million other prayers that have been prayed from people who believe everything and nothing about whatsoever is out there? Give salvation by your right hand. Answer me. Help. You know, most people pray in a crisis. The number of songs that have been written. Madonna, Like a Prayer. Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. Coldplay, We Pray. The reason you hear it repeatedly in music is because it's wired into us to pray. This is a different kind of prayer song, though. Because Christian prayer is not a vague appeal to whatever force. We know who's out there. And we know what he's promised to do. Verse 6 flows from verse 5. Verse 5, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Your faithfulness reaches over all the earth, God. So be exalted. In other words, show your glory over all the earth. Show it as you deliver us, which he promised to do. This isn't a desperate ask. It's the claiming of a promise. Name it and claim it. You heard about that? It's classic prosperity gospel. Sounds very motivational. You need a new car, name it, declare it to be, and God will provide. No. But very biblical to name and claim the actual promises of God. Show your glory, verse 5. By delivering us, verse 6. Because you promised, verse 7. God has promised in his holiness, with exultation I will divide up Shechem and portion out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah my scepter. What's that all about? Well, it's the language of the promised land. Those place names cover the geographical breadth of the promised land from its eastern to its very western reaches. And that portioning up there, I mean, it's described as if he's cutting a cake. You know, my cake, says the Lord, you know, have a piece, a portion for you. Verse 9, Moab, Edom, Philistia are the enemies who threaten God's tribes from getting their slice of the cake. Now, the Bible's its own Wikipedia. You've probably worked this out. You can go to Bible gateway.com, type in Moab, and it will give you all the references. Look at them and you get a sense of, well, the wicked lot that these nations were. Godless lot. Frightening lot. Remember big, ugly Goliath? He was a Philistine. Well, the Lord isn't fazed. The Lord says, Moab is my wash basin. So think of a basin, my basin in the toilet after I've shaved into it. All the shavings cling around the basin even after I put the water out. It's lovely. Come up to the flat and have a look if you like. It's a really lovely scene. Even better to come up and have a look if the kids have come in straight after me and cleaned their teeth and they spit into the basin and don't wash the toothpaste away. Do you want to come up and look at that murky mix? Well, I spit my toothpaste onto you, Moab, says God. Upon Edom I cast my shoe. In other words, Edom. It's fighting talk from the Lord. You want my glory exalted? I will shout in triumph over all of you. If we don't feel comfortable with that kind of fighting talk from a God who's promised to do this in his holiness, it says, well, it's precisely because of his holiness that he's at war with them. This is a war on unholiness, war on arrogance, and a war on hate. That's the kind of nations they were. This is portions of land and rest for his people, because that's the kind of God he is. His faithfulness reaches to the clouds, we heard, so future generations like us name and claim what God in his faithfulness has promised to deliver. Ours are not promises of a small portion of land in the Middle East. And whatever you think about the current politics of that region, and oh, how all of them on all sides need Jesus, is my main thought about it. Huge confusion when Christians have focused on physical Israel, when God's gospel purposes are about a new Jerusalem that will come down from heaven and be the center of an entire new heavens and earth. That's the place where God will finally spit on the world's opposition and the lies of the devil and all sorrow. And my own sin will be banished forever because God will shout in triumph even over it. Always feels to me like one of the loveliest and biggest miracles of the new heaven and the new earth. I'm not going to ruin the place, and neither will you. These are the promises we name and claim whenever we pray, come Lord Jesus. You've promised to, so come. In other words, quote God at God. You find this all over the Bible, actually, when you look for it. It's what the parable of the persistent widow is about. Isaiah says, give him no rest until he establishes New Jerusalem. We will stay steadfast when we are clear about what he has promised and when we keep praying into those promises. Now, how are we all doing in the heat? Some of you look a little bit hot. I think we'll pause here and do a little thing. We're going to stand up and read this psalm together, okay? So if you stand up, it's on page 507, which is nicely in the middle of your Bible, so you could use your Bible as a great big fan as well if you want while you're there at page 507. Page 507, and let's read Psalm 108 together. A song, a psalm of David, together. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory fill the earth. That your beloved ones may be delivered. Give salvation by your right hand and answer me. God has promised in his holiness. With exaltation I will divide up Shechem and portion out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah my scepter, Moab is my washbasin, upon Edom I cast my shoe, over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go out, O God, with our armies. O grant us help against the salvation of man. With God we shall redeem. Is he who will tread down our foes. Amen. Have a seat. Well done. You're doing valiantly in this heat. Keep going. Only about 5 minutes left. It's a good song, isn't it? It's motivating. Stay steadfast. He's steadfast. Claim the promises. He's faithful. And then does it take a jarring turn in this final point? Point three is about the battle to trust him. Verse 10. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Edom was a particularly tough enemy because it was particularly tough terrain, a rock city, a fortified city. It's actually famous. It's been in the movies. So if you know the Indiana Jones films, you might recognize that cleft. That's the real entrance to the real city that we're talking about here. And looking at that picture, you see why Edom felt secure? I mean, how are you going to storm that place? One soldier at a time? Who's going to get easily picked off at the pass? Looks totally impenetrable. You see why David asks questions in verse 10, even raises accusations. Verse 11, have you not rejected us, O God? You don't go out, O God, with our armies. I've been saying this is the king leading the way in this song. David, a shadow of Jesus, the king. And you can kind of imagine Jesus singing this psalm so far, leading us in the thanks, claiming the promises. Jarring to imagine Jesus saying verse 11. Jarring for any of us to say after such heartfelt praise. And yet, how it often feels. Motivational songs can sometimes be reality denying. Because on the ground, the forces against God feel so impenetrable and inevitable. Generational sin, sickness, fortresses of skepticism and materialism and you-do-you-ism. We're thanking God for his steadfast love and praying in his promises precisely because we're going to need to remember he's committed on the days when it doesn't look like he's winning. It didn't look like God was winning when Jesus was dying on the cross. As he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's a bit verse 11-ish. I wonder if you felt that recently. It's so natural to feel forsaken and forgotten when you're in the pit. The wicked oppression of the persecuted church today. Rampant evil that we read about in the news feeds. Perhaps sorrow is winning in your family. And then the church. Well, I hope there is a quiet revival going on in this country. It seems to be a real thing. You know what will accompany it, though? More hostility. Always battle. Big, powerful, fortified empires seeming against. Permission to feel and even say verse 11 as part of your relationship with God. This is why we need to keep cultivating thanks and believing his promises on the ordinary days, so that even in the dark days of verse 11, we will lean into him and land in the verse 12 place. Oh, grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. It's in vain. It's useless in the end. Where else are we going to go for help? Verse 13, with God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes. Steadfast, because he's steadfast. That's our motivation. strength from the fact that he is so strong. You know, I'm really sorry if verse 11 is the line from this psalm that most resonates right now. The Lord gets that. He anticipates that. And he will overcome. His real king from Judah already has tread down the ultimate foes of sin and death. Soon we will shout with him in triumph, "Come, Lord Jesus, eh? Come soon, please, Lord Jesus." Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we sing, make music, and praise you wholeheartedly, for great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the skies. We praise you for your great love poured out on the cross, Jesus. We praise you for your faithfulness, that all your promises to us are yes and amen. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Help us to praise you with all our lives, telling everyone around us of your goodness, love, and mighty deeds, Lord. Be glorified through our church family, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. Lord, please help us to remember and live in the light of your promises to us. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us and delivering us from sin and death. Help us to live in the light of your victory, Lord, and keep us steadfast, rooted in you, Jesus, boldly and joyfully awaiting your triumphant return. Amen. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. Lord, we give thanks for our mission partners, Alkesh and Katie Woods, in their ministry in East Asia. We pray for them and the wider staff team and elders in their church. Please give them wisdom, patience, and a deep devotion to one another in love as they learn to labor well alongside one another. And please give them direction and discernment over finding a suitable meeting venue for the church. We also pray for the many issues that arose during the church's recent Holiness in Our Bodies sermon series. Lord, please help Alkesh and Katie's church family to eagerly fight sin, encouraged by the power of redemption, and help them to walk faithfully alongside one another. For your glory, Lord. Amen. And finally, Lord, we turn to pray for the wider world, and we mourn the UK government's recent vote to back a bill that proposes to legalise assisted dying in England and Wales. Please help your people to be salt and light in this environment, holding out beautiful truths about the sanctity of life and promoting better care for the most vulnerable in our society. Please protect the most vulnerable, Lord. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus, and for your glory. Amen.